go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Why, hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 95 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Happy 2025 and good riddance to 2024. What a miserable year that was. I went sexless in 2024. 2025 is new horizons. We're throwing away 2024 and we're throwing away our childhood. This year, 2025, we are going to be statesmanlike because we are adults here at Verbal Graffiti. So if you're a fan, if you're a viewer, if you're a proud supporter of Verbal Graffiti, go to your closet right now. Go to your bin. Throw away your hoodies. Throw away your graphic tees. Throw away your whitey tighties. Throw away your white socks. Throw away your cargo pants and be an adult. Be a proud citizen. And to all the gays, to all the lesbos, to all the trans, to all the losers, to all the unlovables, to all the straights, to all the failed athletes, to all the entry-level employees, to all the minimum wage workers, to all the service workers working under the table, tax-free, good for you, to all of us, to all the potheads, to all the doobie smokers, to all the alcoholics, to all the drug abusers, to all the gamblers, to all those of you in debt, welcome to Verbal Graffiti, episode 95. Year 2025. This is our year. No, actually, that's a lie. This will not be our year. This will not be your year. Maybe 2026, 2025. Give up on it. I was going to bemoan a New Year's Eve and how I don't like going out on New Year's Eve, mostly because there's a lot of drunk drivers, and I also like to be home by midnight, doom scrolling through X, but I'm not going to do that. Let's stay positive. This is a new year. That's a new you. It's actually not a new you. It's another day, right? You're hungover. You're listening to Verbal Graffiti. We're having a good time. Hopefully you got laid last night. As I mentioned last episode, I'm all for 40 when it comes to New Year's Eve kissing. I've never kissed anybody on New Year's Eve. Maybe that's another reason why I despise the holiday. But it does amuse me that Americans, the first day of the year, we take off. And we'll start the year off tomorrow, January 2nd. January 1st is a day for solitude and football and continuing to eat and gain weight. My mother keeps telling me, have I lost weight, which is making me scared because I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. So now I think I have a cancer or some kind of crippling disease that is going to kill me very early, maybe even this year. Whoa, we're supposed to stay positive, B-Man. Stay positive. We're statesmanlike this year. New Year's resolutions, what are they, B-Man? What's your New Year's resolution? 2 years ago, my New Year's resolution, so that's 2022, was to become a better liar. Utter failure at that. I cannot lie. You know I'm lying. I learned this. I used to play a little bit of poker. So when somebody, there are tells in poker. One of which, if somebody like looks up, that means the person is thinking, which probably means they're lying about their hand or trying to bluff. So if you're having a conversation with somebody and you ask them a very direct question and they kind of direct their eyes somewhere other than at you, good chance they're lying to you. So just a little thing to know going forward if you're with a partner who you suspect of cheating on you, and I suspect that person is also cheating on you, but hey, we don't hate cheaters here. Last year, my New Year's resolution, so 2024, last year's New Year's resolution for the B-Man was to not stop at red lights. when nobody is around. I auto failure once again, 0 for 2. I am a goody two-shoe. I am a beta cuck, a soy boy, a follower, not a leader. I tell the government puts up a light, tells me to stop. I stop. I'm not going to get into it, okay? I stop at red lights and stop signs. Ugh, utter failure over two. What's going to be my New Year's resolution 2025? I've not given this any thought until now. That is why I am pausing as I try to come up with something on the spot. 2025. All right. Let's have some symbiotic, balance. 2025. The B-man's New Year's resolution is to have sexual relations, consensual sexual. Get that. Okay, the B-man's 2025 New Year's resolution is to have sexual relations, that is, consensual sexual relations with a 25-year-old babe or younger, but older than 21, because she needs to be able to drink legally for me to do that. So that is the New Year's resolution. I'll keep you updated if and when that happens. And I'm 0 for 2 the last 2 years. So let's change the trend, because this year we are dignitaries. Is that a word? Dignitaries of the state? I don't know. I'm rambling here. Yeah, so that's the New Year's resolution, is to have sex within a 25-year-old lady. So if you are a 25-year-old busty Latino and or Asian, hit the B-man up. All right, let's get into this episode. Happy 2025. Let's have a good one. Let's have a stellar 2025. Good, terrible adjective. That is a horrendous adjective. I need to get into my vocabulary, need to expand on it. So let's have a... what's a good adjective word for 2025? I was just looking through my vocabulary list of words. I have a note app for it. Can't think of one. My apologies. Maybe segment two, I'll use a vocabulary word. All right, let me open. This comes from the subreddit. I can't come up with one vocabulary word. I'm not even hungover. All right. Back to the episode. This comes from the subreddit, SG Exams. I'm not positive what SG stands for. Moving forward. Is dipping fries in soda weird? This is meant to be a pretty lighthearted and unserious discussion compared to the most recent posts that have come up, but I just wanted to hear a different opinions. Two emojis with the faces. My friends saw me dipping my fries in Coke at McDonald's, and they call me weird and disgusting. I find the saltiness and the sweetness of the soda to be pretty compatible combination. Is it not common to dip your fries in soda, or am I really the outlier? Emoji crying. Just curious with YKWIM. Again, to not know what that internet acronym stands for. Yeah, you are the outlier to dip your McDonald's French fries, which are the best, into the Coca-Cola, which is also the best Coke of all the Coca-Colas in the world that have ever existed. And I've never tasted the Coca-Cola that allegedly had actual cocaine in it, so I can't speak to that. But all the other modern-day Coca-Colas, number one is the McDonald's soda fountain Coca-Cola. Number two is the old-school glass bottle, skinny glass bottle, where you have to pop the top off. Those are the best two. But McDonald's Coca-Cola is far and away number one seed. No one's even close to them. Top score when it comes down to Coca-Cola. But yes, you are most certainly an outlier to be dipping your French fries into the Coca-Cola inside of a McDonald's. Now, that doesn't make you a terrible person. I don't think they are... them calling your friends calling you disgusting for dipping your French fries in Coca-Cola is not warranted, the B-man thinks. Now, eating your McDonald's inside of a McDonald's, that's demonic. That I'm going to judge you more so for doing that than dipping the fries into the cola. Now, let's say I was in this McDonald's and I were to see you or anybody for that matter. I usually when I go to McDonald's, or this is my order, I usually get three McDoubles, a large fry, and if I have the funds, I will get a vanilla milkshake, usually a small one. But if I was in line or at the kiosk, wherever the fuck you order now, from my periphery vision, I saw you and your friends chuckling it up. I hear somebody say, "Oh, that's disgusting." Obviously, the B-man, I'm going to turn my head. What's disgusting? I mean, we're in a McDonald's, so for someone to be calling somebody else disgusting inside of McDonald's, that's going to get the B-man's attention. So I turn my head, and I see that you dipping your French fries inside the McDonald's Coca-Cola. Now, instinctively, I'm not going to think that's disgusting. Now, I will give you the rock's eyebrow. I will raise my eyebrow at what you're doing and what I'm seeing you do. But it's not disgusting. That's different, right? That's different. That is, as you say, that is an outlier thing to do. Now, but it's not disgusting. And let me tell you why. Because the McDonald's French fries, fabulous, culinary, the best fry of all the fries. The McDonald's Coca-Cola, as we've already determined, the best Coke of all the Coca-Colas. So obviously, the best fry, the best Coke together, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, it is different. It is different. It almost, if I were to see you do that, and reading that you actually did this, I get more upset with myself because why didn't I not think of this? Like, I love the McDonald's French fry. I love the Coca-Cola. Like, why didn't I not think of using the Coke as a dipping sauce? It's almost like, it's similar, very similar to when I'm doing stand up, and the jokes I get jealous at most are the comics I get most jealous with, and not like not jealous where it's jaded. It's more of just, oh, why did I, when they come up, when they tell a joke or they have a setup that's so like clear as day, it's like, oh, why didn't I think of that punchline, or why didn't I not observe that thing in the world, or that joke? It's so simple that I'm angry with myself for not having thought of it first before whatever comic said that. Same thing with this. I'm like, why did I never think about dipping my fries in the Coke? Now, I say it's it's weird. It's weird and it's not weird. Let me delve a little further. Let me think out loud. Hopefully this all comes to together and melds into an actual thought that is coherent. So, right, if you take the fry, right, you take a bite of the fry, and it is the McDonald's fries are very salty. We all know this. So you're chewing the fry, and you take a sip from your Coca-Cola to wash down the fry. That's pretty much the same as taking the fry and dipping it in the soda before you eat the fry. It's the same. They're both in the mouth together. They're both going, you know, down your throat into your stomach. So genius? Are you a genius? Am I going to go as far as to ask you what your IQ is? And is it above 140? Are you on the same level as Elon Musk doing this? The dipping, using the soda as a dipping sauce. It's the exact same thing, but it's not. It's a complete, like, logistics matter. Like, logistics do matter. They're all going into your mouth, but the fry has to go into your mouth first. If you're pulling them in together, I can't have you being a leader, right? You cannot be a luminary of America. You cannot be our president. Here's why. Because if you're, let's say you're running for president in Pennsylvania, the primaries, it's a close race. You're fighting, you're campaigning against another candidate. It's like 50 to 49% back and forth. Now you're doing an event and the cameras, they catch you dipping the fry into a soda. That's going to get all over social media. And it's probably going to tip the scales where you're going to lose a primary because of your eating dipping habit with the fry and the soda. So you cannot be a leader of a country, of men, of statesmen like myself. You cannot be a leader. Now, anything else in the world, that if your aspirations are as high as a mid-level management of a Fortune 500 company, yes, you can continue to dip your French fries into Coca-Cola. But if your aspirations are higher than that, though, you need to only do that in the privacy of your own home or in your own car. Do not do that where any cameras can catch you doing that. Now, everybody's got. I'm not going to look at you differently because everybody's got weird eating habits or combinations. Myself, when I was in third grade, I had a habit of dipping potato chips into orange juice, and I told my teacher, Miss Gerace, that I did that, and she told me, oh, don't tell anybody else that you do that. She was looking out for me during recess, so I kept that a secret, and I continued to be able to play kickball with all the other boys during recess because I kept that private, much like you should have done here. I remember I was hanging out with this babe in Neac, New York, and we were at a brewery, and she was eating, what was she eating? A sweet potato French fry. It's a great French fry. And she was dipping the sweet potato French fries in mayonnaise, and it made me gag. I was, nothing came out, but I was doing the dry heaves because I don't like mayonnaise. And I told this, like, hey, if you continue to dip those fries in mayonnaise, I am not kissing you for the next 3 days. We are no longer together. She ended things with me, probably because I go overboard when I see people eating weirdly. There's another person, Will Levis, Pride of Connecticut football. What was his thing? He would pour mayonnaise in his coffee. That's probably why he failed as a starting quarterback in the NFL. You just can't be a leader of men when you're pouring mayonnaise in your coffee instead of cream. So we all have these weird eating habits. Yours? It's you know, of all the weird eating habits, I mean, this one, honestly, if there was a dipping sauce packet of soda, a Sprite, Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola, and it had like the dip, and you could use it as a dip. If I walked into a fast food, if I didn't know what soda was, and I didn't know what dipping sauces were, and I were to walk into a McDonald's, and there was the little container that you peel it back, and you get usually the sweet and sour sauce. If I peeled that back, and it was bubbling Coca-Cola. If I didn't know what any of this stuff was before, I wouldn't even think twice. I'd be like, oh, that's great. Oh, that tastes good. The sweetness, the saltiness, it's a perfect mix as it goes down my gullet. So you're not weird. You're not weird. I mean, you're an outlier. You may be a genius. I am most certainly jealous of you for thinking of this before I have. And I'm not going to lie, I'm probably going to, from this moment forward, 2025, I will be dipping my McDonald's French fries into the Coca-Cola. Good for you. Fuck your friends. Fuck your friends. Don't be peer pressured into eating your French fries and then drinking your Coca-Cola. Do not be peer pressured into doing that. Let's go look at some photos. The year is now 2025. This is the year we drink while on the clock. We smoke cigarettes while in the restroom. we sexually harass coworkers via company email. Hey, hot lips, those titties ain't gonna suck themselves. How about you let the B-man buy you some Chipotle? Wink, wink. This is the year. This is the year we will no longer be subjugated to the demands of the man. That's all. That's all crap. We all know we're going to go back to work tomorrow, January 2nd, and we're going to talk to our co-workers about what we drank, what we did on New Year's, what new show we're watching, and we're going to go back to the drudgery that is whatever it is your life is, and my life is this. So, hey, but you could dream. You could dream. You have not broken your resolution yet. So we can be dreamers here at Verbal Graffiti. Now, before we move on with segment two of episode 95 of Verbal Graffiti, I have a complaint I need what's that thing when you give some, I need a summon, that when a lawyer summons, or you give them that letter that summons them to court. I have a complaint I need to make to my sister, Missy. Now, I just want to make a disclaimer that I love my sister, Missy, dearly. But you do know when I have to make that loving disclaimer that I am going to drop the anchor on her. Now, and that's only because she dropped an anchor on me. Now, before I get to what she did, the complaint I have of her actions, let's talk about the positives of Missy. Missy is a cancer survivor of vagina cancer, or maybe she's a beater. She beat the cancer, so she didn't survive. She beat the cancer of her vagina and rid it from her body with the help of chemo. She is a frontline worker nurse. She is an art historian. She is a half marathon runner completer and has a medal and t-shirt to prove it to all of you. She is. What's another wonderful aspect of Missy's life? She is a world traveler. She is a dog owner and lover. With all this lovey-dovey of Missy, and she is a upstanding citizen that we all should look up to. She's not down here in the gutter of Verbal Graffiti with all of us. But she did a thing that some of you viewers and listeners of Verbal Graffiti might do, right? She came in to a residence recently. There was a 12-pack of Edelman's donuts, the just regular chocolate donuts. She took half a donut, half a donut. She ate half the donut and put half the uneaten donut back in the box. And anyone who's had an Edelman's donut knows that Edelman donuts are a lot like white women, white men as well. They don't age gracefully. Like if you leave them out, like a half-eaten donut, it gets crusty very quickly. So the uneaten half of the donut becomes unedible within hours. So then I go, oh, there's a box of donuts. I open it up and I see half a donut there. And immediately I know, oh, that's Missy, because that's a Missy move right there. She eats half the donut. So she puts her mouth with all the other donuts. And not only does she leave half the donut there, she'll put the half-eaten donut on top of an entire donut that has not been touched. So basically, her mouth touches the half-eaten donut and then the donut that has not been touched underneath. So her mouth goes from her mouth to the donut underneath, and the donuts to the side. It's very frustrating when that happens to me. So I'm calling you out for that, Missy. You need to change your ways. If you pick up a donut, you got to commit. Eat the entire donut. Let's move forward. All right. This comes from the subreddit, Women. We talk a lot about those here at Verbal Graffiti. Let's dive in. Ooh, dive in. Mm-hmm. A little sexual innuendo there. Queefing. It happens a lot to me, and I wonder if I have weak vagina muscles. I also have weak orgasms, and my queefing problems are worse on my period. Does anyone else had or has problems with it? And are you doing anything about it? I need to know because I feel like it's not talked about enough. Sneeze emoji. I take umbrage with that last statement because, man, I have been singing the praises of queefing and all things queef for the better part of a decade now on stage with a microphone in my hand to sparsely populated dive bars, restaurants, pizzerias around the Northeast America. I've been talking about queefs and my love for them to anybody that will listen or turn their head from the stool at the bar. I love a good queef. I love a queef. Now, I must admit, I have no knowledge on queefs being louder or making more noise while you're on your period. Now, I'm trying to work it out. So I guess a queefing sound, when a babe queefs, it does sound much like a puddle, right? Like you step in a puddle, that's kind of the queef sound. So if you are having a period and there's a lot of blood in your vagina and you're you know, extracting your egg from your vagina and there's all that blood and your man puts his penis in you or whatever man's putting his penis in you, I guess, you know, that's almost like putting his penis in a puddle. So it would make sense that your queef would be louder or more noticeable when having sex on your period. Okay. So I think that doesn't make sense. That checks out. And again, just disclaimer, just an aside, congratulations to you for having your red wings. Have sex on your period. Have sex on your period. It's fun. It's all right. Just towel down. There's detergent. There's no excuse not to be having sex on your period if you do have a partner to have sex with. It's period. Queefs, you shouldn't be ashamed for queefing. I know a lot of babes get self-conscious of queefing during sex or during lovemaking, to be more, you know, proper here. But honestly, you should love your body and all the sounds that come from the orifices of your body, you should love. And whoever you're with, who you're being intimate with, they should love those sounds too. They gotta take the good with the bad. Any guy, if you're with a guy and he's teasing you because of how often you queef and how much extra room you have in your vagina, that's not the man you want to give your heart to for life. So maybe temporarily, yes, but not for life. So don't commit to him and you'll give all the marriage vows. Love your queef. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with your vagina. As long as you're doing Kegels one, two, three times a week, a few sessions of them, your vagina is fine. Now, there's a lot of propaganda, at least in the Western Hemisphere, in the Western world, America, among the elite, that, see, what you have is a wide mouth vagina. See, beyond the screen here, beyond the studio, I have a 64-ounce bottle of Snapple iced tea. It's empty. But if you know, if you have those 64-ounce, like the big iced tea bottles, that it has a wide mouth. I buy that specifically, so sometimes I'll pee in it. I like a wide mouth. But there's so much propaganda in America that women, babes, should have a 2-liter cola opening mouth to her vagina. You know, like the 2-liter cola, you open it, it's such a tiny mouth, like the 2-liter thing of soda, it's such a tiny hole. Like that's, there's so much propaganda in America that's what every babe wants to have. She wants to have that 2-liter cola opening vagina. But personally, I like the wide mouth Snapple can vagina. I like a vagina that has more room. It gives me more space to maraud around and find stuff. It's more malleable. I can kind of scope it out. There are more angles you can hit. I've had both, right? I remember I had a babe who I had a consensual sex with, first date. We met in West Hartford. We met at a Chinese restaurant that is no longer in existence. It went out of business. They poured whiskeys all the way to the top. A little whiskey glass. They poured it all the way top. The two of us got shit drunk. I'm not sure if that's... whatever. Yeah, we got shit drunk. She was a photographer. She was the one who taught me that. And again, I don't remember her name. I would tell you what her name is, but I don't remember it. This was years ago. But she was a photographer, and we were talking, and she didn't have kids, and I didn't have kids. I believe this was my early 30s. And she told me that she didn't feel the need to have kids because she is an artist, and her photography is what she gives the world. And that I took that to heart. I've never heard that before. And I've never desired having kids of my own. After that conversation I had with this lady on our date, I now believe that. Like, oh, I'm a comic. I'm a stand-up comic. My jokes, my art of this verbal graffiti, after time expires, my written blog, these are, like, I'm giving this to the world. This is what I'm leaving behind. So I think that might be why I don't desire kids or having offspring, like, which is, you know, most people want to have offspring. I've had no desire to do so. And I think now, because of this conversation I had with this lady and what she said, that, oh yeah, maybe it's because my art is what I'm giving the world, not my seed. But anyways, yeah, so we went out, we started fondling in her car, we were shit drunk, we ended up in, like, right outside a tennis court, we were both naked, we got locked out of her car. Anyways, we ended up back at her house, and she had a boob job. It was the first lady I've been with who had a boob job. She had huge boobs, but her vagina was spotless, but it was, like, the widest vagina I've ever felt with my fingers, with my tongue, and with my penis, Mr. Perfect. I put my penis in there, and there was so much room. It was fun. I had so much fun inside of that vagina. I was able to last forever, and she was super flexed. All right, you get the point. It was a loose vagina. It was a wide mouth, snapple bottle vagina. And then I also was with this Ecuadorian babe, also top heavy. She had great boobs. These ones were natural, but this ain't about the boobs. Her vagina was so tight, with such a 2-liter cola opening vagina, that I could not fit Mr. Perfect inside of her 2-liter cola vagina opening. Like, it took the first, and, you know, this was my late 20s, so she was sexually active prior to me. But yeah, it took us, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to really get Mr. Perfect all the way inside her. And I'm a pedestrian penis, so it's not like I'm not hanging here. That's the first time I've ever had that issue before. So, and of those two, give me the wide mouth vagina that queefs a lot. So that's, they don't let the propaganda of advertisements and movies and television and artists make you believe that having a 2-liter tight opening vagina is the preferred vagina of, you know, your sexual partners. So no, you got have. Love your wide vagina, love that wide mouth, love the sounds, the queefs that come from it. Oh, and another thing, stop blaming the guys, stop blaming the Johns for the queefing, right? We've all heard this slander. It's like, oh, the reason why you queef so much is because your man's wiener ain't big enough, so he's not filling it, so there's air in there, and it comes out, and that's what causes the queefing. Well, anybody making that claim, I'm going to say right now, that is hate speech, and if I hear anybody say that, they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. They should have to do 6 to 18 months at Rikers Island in general population, and I hope you get shanked. All right, but if you do, if you, with all this out of the way, if you're still, If you're still queasy about your queef and you're very sensitive to the noise that you're making with your wide mouth vagina, I do have two solutions for you. One, bumper bowling. All right, have any of you ever been bumper bowling where you have the bowling and you go with kids? And it has this solution has nothing to do with kids. But you know, you go bowling and then you put the bumpers in the lane so you don't get the gutter ball. Do that with your vagina. So put some gauze inside of your vagina on both sides. So when your man puts his wiener inside of you, that extra space is taken by the bumpers, the gauze that you have inside there. And maybe that will mute the noises that are coming out of your vagina. And if that does not work or you're uncomfortable putting some type of gauze medical supplies in your vagina, solution number two is have your sexual partners wear noise-canceling headphones. That way, if you queef, your man won't hear it. And also, just if you want to be an upstanding citizen, to be a dignitary, to be a statesman, or in your case, a states babe in 2025, which we're all trying to be here at Verbal Graffiti, before you engage in sex, you might want to call your local news stations and just let them know, I'm going to be engaging in sex, so I tend to queef quite often. So if there's any motion on the Richter scale, we're not having an earthquake. It's my vagina causing the Richter scale to spike up a little bit. So that hope it works out for you. Hope you continue queefing all of 2025 and for years to come. We're going to continue reading now The Salesman's Wife by author John Lawrence. Where are we? All right, we're at the top of page 57. And as always, we will read two pages together. Aloud. "This is nice," she said lazily. "So nice. I'm so glad you came to the diner. We don't get many good-looking studs in there." She reached out her hand and let it drop directly on his aching penis. Alan jumped slightly as if the jolt of electricity had flashed through his body. Stella began to knead and caress the large, throbbing mound and leaned in even further. Alan shoved his hips forward so that her hands could have full access to his eager cock. Their bodies were rubbing sensuously next to each other on the sofa. Then their eyes met and the passion seethed between them. Suddenly, Alan put his drink down on the table next to him and grabbed her with his muscular arms. He kissed her deeply, shoving his wet tongue into her mouth. Hungrily, Stella opened her mouth as wide as possible to admit his straining oral member, and soon their two tongues were cumminglingly wet with saliva. Alan explored every crevice of the interior of her mouth, behind her teeth, up into the dark, fleshy cavern as Stella continued to stroke and caress his desire-hardened penis through his Levi's. They became wildly excited. "Oh!" Alan moaned as Stella kneaded the softly pulsing mound of his testicles. His hand quickly moved up and under her tight pink blouse, and his palm slid smoothly over the smooth, naked flesh of her back, then around the gently heaving breasts, squeezing hard, reveling in their suppleness. He felt a sharp sensation in his earlobe as Stella nibbled on the tender flesh of her teeth, biting slightly, then a little harder. At first, Alan didn't like the forwardness of her action, but the stinging pain was also undeniably exciting, and his body tingled, flushed with hot lust. "Like that," she whispered quickly, setting her drink aside. In response, he kissed her neck so hard with his tightened lips that he made a little red welt in her skin. "Oh, baby," she purred, throwing her head back and digging her fingers into his shoulders. Alan felt a shudder go through his whole body, and his penis stiffened excitedly, yearning for release. He was caught in a turbulent surge of passion, and he quickly flung aside all reason and restraint as he removed Stella's jersey blouse and tossed it in the corner. His heart pounded wildly when he saw her upper torso completely naked, gleaming with tawny golden shadows in the light. Her eyes were flashing and her blonde hair, tousled and wild, made her look like a savage, jispy creature. Her face was a mask of desire. Go suck a fat one.